Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick 'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest. Hold on. 1, 2, 3. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, aka Wozni Lambre, and I'm joined this time, man, by my cousin Pat, down there in the ATL. Pat, what's going on with you, brother?
Man, we're doing good, man. Appreciate you. It's an honor to be here with my cousin, and I appreciate all your endeavors, your success. God bless. And I'm happy to be here.
My brother, obviously, I'm happy to have you on. So the reason why I'm having Pat on is because if you're listening to this, I'm sure you've seen all of the sort of, you probably might have watched the Hulu documentary. If you haven't seen the Hulu documentary, you've seen the chatter on social and this and that and different shows talking about Freaknik in Atlanta. And, you know, I've been obviously consuming all of that content. But I was recently in ATL me and my cousin were hanging out, and we were talking about the documentary coming out, and it had never even dawned on me that you had actually been to Freaknik yourself. You know what I mean? Like, literally your first time ever in ATL was for Freaknik, and you've been living in ATL for about 30 years now, kind of because of it. So let's get right into it, Pat. Talk to me about, how do you find out about Freaknik initially?
Man, you see how I'm grinning? Freaknik was, I lived it. I didn't even have to look at the documentary because we was there. But coming from Florida, you know, definitely after high school, a little bit of college, that's where we actually ran into Freaknik in 91, coming to visit the Mecca, Atlanta. Mm. So came in for spring break in April. And
so let's just slow down right there. Let's just slow down right there. 1991, you were just going to Atlanta for spring break. Like, you, mind you, you're already in South Florida, which everybody knows is a big spring break place. Exactly. But you guys had heard, like, yo, it's gonna be fun if we go to ATL for spring break. So you didn't even know Freaknik was happening. You guys just said we're going to ATL for spring break.
Exactly. Just a party, you know, it's a college town, clubs, parties. So we figured it's going to be enjoyable. And plus we already had friends here, you know, but they never told us about this going on. So we come to Atlanta, we party. And that's when the scene was introduced to wings and pizza, you know, that's that era. So deaf era. So, you know, we young in my 20s coming to Atlanta to party, and we happen to be here during Freaknik week.
So, 1991, was that the first Freaknik or was that the second one?
Well, that in the 90s is actually when Freaknik started getting crazy big. So that's when folks was starting to hear about it, when you're starting to have like between 200,000. I'm talking about
when you guys went up there, that was the first year of this shit.
Nah, you know what? To tell you the truth, Freaknik really started really small in the 80s. But it started getting big.
Okay, gotcha.
In the 90s, yeah. So it was like really small.
83 was the first ever Freaknik.
Yeah, little small, you know, small picnic park type.
Gotcha.
Historical college. But then it just migrated every year.
But 1991 is when you touched down in ATL for spring break. So I want to paint the scene so like people could like sort of put themselves in your shoes at that time in 91. You guys are 20, 21 years old. You get in a car to drive from Florida to Atlanta.
Yes.
And did you guys have a plan? Did you know what you wanted to do? Did you guys have a place to stay? Like, were you like, all right, whatever, we'll get a motel at some point. Maybe we know somebody we can stay on their couch. What were you guys thinking as you're actually going to ATL?
We was coming to party. We was coming to meet some friends. Actually, we had our own little, you know, vibe, our own little party set up and everything, meeting folks. And then, like I said, we had folks that were already here. So that's when they started introducing us to Freaknik as well. When we was here, when we ran into it, we found out what was going on. Okay. And it was like, you know, dance contests. Actually, good stuff, too. Job fairs. You know, for the culture, rap sessions, dance contests, basketball tournaments. And that's when my folks in New York, of course, New York's a ballers. So they knew, you know, we started, it was like, how come we never click, you know? But they, you know, I'm not much of a baller, but they would come and join in these basketball tournaments. And it just started getting bigger. And we was like, we couldn't wait to 92, 93. I think I missed it 1 year. But 94, 95, 96 was one of the best years. And you got to remember 200,000, 300,000. And it was beautiful, the culture. Nice, you know, college women, you know, nice guys, nice black guys. They're doing their thing, you know. I was driving a 4Runner. My boys was driving their Vigors. And, you know,
first of all, for people that don't know, man, in 1991, 92, if you had an Acura Vigor, I would say that's the equivalent of what like an Audi is right now. You know, maybe even more flames than having an Audi. Like, you was the shit.
Yes.
If you had an Acura Vigor, and of course the Toyota 4Runner, you know, the Tet Beth for all my Haitians out there know about that. Like, boy, like that was a serious vehicle. So, because you were explaining to me what the, like, what the event actually would turn into, right? Like,
right.
So you guys are going there expecting to go to, like, I'm sure house parties, club parties, whatever type of parties, maybe hit a strip club, whatever. But, like,
Club Nikki's, Club Follies, Magic City.
all of those existed even in 1992.
Yeah.
91.
They were 91. Yep. In the 90s. They were popping. And Atlanta was based off a club scene, you know? So, and then it was cheap to party. I know the era was cheaper, but $150 in my pocket for the whole weekend, we was having a blast. Yeah. $4 drinks, you know?
Yeah.
but what I liked about Freaknik, the only thing is, it was event set up, but it just got too big. So, like I said, you have 200,000 extra folks in the city, 300, but so they need stuff to do. So when there wasn't, then that's when the streets got gridlocked.
So obviously everybody couldn't get into every single Jermaine Dupri party, every single Outkast function, every single whatever. People, not everybody is connected enough. Not everybody is rich enough to get into these parties. So can you explain these makeshift parties in the streets, Pat? Can you, like, explain where they happened at?
The crazy thing about it is what I experienced was around P Street, 85 to 85, it was just gridlock. Like, folks just...
So cars could not move on the street?
For hours and hours.
Okay.
Any part of the day. So folks would turn off their vehicles. Whoever got the loudest music, or you might have 2-3 music playing at the same time. And folks just get on the highway and start dancing, meeting each other, dancing with each other, just having a good old time.
Pat, like, we got to explain this, because, like, I think in 2024, like, nobody can imagine this, but we're talking about on the weekend, a Friday, a Saturday,
a Sunday,
the major highways in Atlanta were locked down. Because cars of people, young people, black people, who had driven into Atlanta to participate in this thing that they heard called Freaknik, they parked on the street, on the highway, on the literal highway, cars stopped, music is blaring, and people are just partying on the highway, going from car to car, and they're doing this for hours on end.
Hours on end. Just like that. Unimaginable. Unimaginable. Cops couldn't get nowhere. Cops couldn't stop it. Your cars ain't moving.
And because I remember, because when we were talking about this, I was asking you about this. Because I'm just, because, like, you know, you're in Atlanta, my older brother, my older sister, like, other cousins. Like, I got family in Atlanta, so I'm there all the time now. Or not Atlanta always, but obviously we in the burbs, we in Gwinnett, whatever. But yeah, the greater Atlanta area, if you will. And, like, I've driven on 85, right? Like, I've been on 285. Like, I've driven on Peachtree. Like, I know, like, what these places are like on a normal day. I'm trying to imagine 32 years ago, you know, like, just nobody can get around the city in a car because people have locked it down. And by the way, guys, it's not just that they're partying in the streets. Women are having a great time. Can you please describe some of the things that were happening with the partying and the dancing and the women, Pat, please?
Oh, my goodness. You know, liquor's flowing, folks smoking. The party, all they needed was music. Sidewalks, side streets, in front of restaurants. All they needed was music, and they got down. Simple.
And so, because we got to go through the list too, and like, you don't need to say whether you participated in these things or not, Pat, but we got to go through the list of things that people were doing on the street. So like, girls are flashing tits. They're doing that.
Absolutely.
They're showing booty.
Absolutely.
They're showing their private parts in the front. Absolutely. Like, and this is not like an isolated incident. It's happening all around you.
All around. In cars, you'll see a butt naked woman just driving. Somebody driving and she in the backseat just butt naked and dancing. And that's when it started getting crazy because, you know, no one should be violated by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, but if there's liquor and folks are not in the right mind, my thing is
we're gonna get into that. Yeah. I just wanna paint the scene for people.
Right.
Car stopped on the highway.
Yeah.
People in the park in downtown, people in front of restaurants, outside of clubs, inside of clubs, outside of bars. Literally the whole Atlanta has been turned upside down into a parade, into a party.
Exactly. Day and night and afternoon.
Question. Day, night, afternoon. people were having sex out in the open, Pat.
Absolutely.
Getting dome. Cunninglingus. Analingus. Intercourse. All of these things are happening out in the open, Pat.
Yep. And you know, that's when the, was it the Daisy Duke era, booty shorts?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
So they was playing a lot of Uncle Luke.
Yes.
A lot of that booty music.
Two Live Crew, yeah.
Yeah.
Too Short.
Mm.
Yeah, Florida music.
A lot of that was being played.
Yeah. And it was a vibe.
And it was vibes. And so, Pat, so like, you, okay. So they throw it. This thing happens in this crazy way during spring break. So you go for your first one, not knowing you're going to run into an outdoor sex party. Let's keep it 1,000. That's what it was. It was an orgy damn near outdoors. Hundreds of thousands of people participating. So you find out you just land in this shit in 91, which is just perfect. And so you and your boys are just like, there's absolutely no way we're not coming back next year.
Exactly. No way. Couldn't wait for it.
And let's get it. Let's not get it twisted. Pat had the forerunner. If you guys remember that 91, 92, 94 runner, it had a sunroof.
Absolutely.
And the girls liked coming in the car and dancing through the sunroof. So I would imagine you had a lot of girls come through the whip, Pat.
A lot of girls, and they did any car with a sunroof, they get in there and start performing. Next thing you know, you have a crowd of guys just coming rocking. And that's when you bring them down. Okay. Let's move. Because it was getting crazy.
Okay.
Your whip just start rocking.
Oh my God.
Folks everywhere, both sides. And it was okay, come on down. Close the sunroof and move to the next area. Yeah.
Got you. Nope. And keep it pushing.
Keep it pushing.
And everybody was friendly. Not a bunch of fights, not a bunch of this, it was a positive atmosphere, specifically those first couple of years that you went.
Yeah, definitely. And it was meant, I think Jermaine Dupri had a lot to do with it, but it was meant for a positive atmosphere. It just got too big for the city.
So that's what I was gonna ask you. As you kept going and going, did you notice it getting bigger and bigger? Because you even notice it, you could see that it was like, oh my God, there's even more people this year.
Yes, absolutely, definitely. Because it started getting, you know, from the city, then
even further out.
Yeah, further out, like Buckhead, Brookhaven. Wow. So it started.
Wait, so y'all was doing this freaky shit in Buckhead too?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God. That's when it started getting crazy, because the Buckhead folks was complaining. They can't get nowhere. They can't get to down the street to their little Publix. They can't walk their little dog. So that's when, the city was stepping in. Yeah, and they started trying to deter people from coming. I think it was in 98, 97. And it was they started trying to shut it down abruptly.
We're done.
Yeah.
The cops got a hold of it.
Yeah.
Started giving people ticketings for jaywalking and this, that, and the third.
Exactly.
Because we did talk about this a week and a half ago or so, but you noticed that the things that started to change as more and more people heard about it was that two things happened. There were people hearing about this outdoor sex party, basically, horn dogs.
Right.
Let's face it, men, horny men.
Horny men.
Don't get pussy otherwise, right?
Right.
They hear this legend of this party. And then, of course, there's women who heard about the party, but they didn't come to flash their vaginas or show tit or... They came to see the party as well, but like they're not interacting with these horny ass dudes and they're getting violated.
Exactly.
And you yourself witnessed a few violations yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Especially on the sidewalks. I forgot which movie. Oh, was it? It was Hoop. There it is. I forgot. Uh-huh. That was the call. So anytime they see beautiful women coming down, walking, and that was, it was like a call. And it would just
ring throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
It would just start down near the hoop. There it is. And as the shorties keep getting closer.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
this is predatory.
Yeah. Predatory. That was the call.
So what would you say was like your favorite, memories of being down there, like when you think about Freaknik, like obviously the beautiful women and all of that stuff and the sort of sexual nature of it, but like aside from that, like what do you, when you think about Freaknik, because I remember I seen you, like you had posted about the documentary on Insta, and I was like, man, yeah y'all had some fun back then, and you text me, it was like some of the best times of my life. So what do you remember most, man, about attending Freaknik?
Well, coming from Florida, was young, just coming up here and seeing beautiful black folks coming to one area and partying and doing their thing at one time, and like I said, it was eventful. We went to a lot of the events. It was nice. It was seeing it. But then and then film festivals, all kind of stuff was going on. But that's just to see the black Mecca, Atlanta, experience and the parties, everything at one location.
Yeah. You're getting everything.
Everything. Epic. Anywhere you went. Beautiful women, everything. Yeah. It was epic. And then that was the first time you actually seen celebrities, not that I...
With your own two eyes.
Yeah.
Got you.
Own two eyes, like I said, the so-so death era. So all the folks on his squad, you'll see him at different clubs, partying with the folks, and stuff like that. So it was epic. It was nice. It was nice.
So... Can you tell the people, so you were living in South Florida, you've been in the ATL basically for 30 years damn near now. You an ATL veteran. You've seen the city literally grow. Can you tell the people how you decided to move to ATL?
I had to get out of Florida. And this was the next best thing. In 96, came to ATL. And we said we wasn't going back.
I got you.
Yeah.
So
and that was around the Olympics too, when ATL was definitely building up, and it was the land for growth with the black culture.
I love that so much. Like you just you go to a couple of freak Knicks, you know what I mean? You tired of Florida and you like, man, I gotta get to ATL. Like, I'm not going to Houston. I'm not going to LA. I'm not going to Vegas. I'm not going to New York. I'm not going to fucking Charlotte. I'm not going to DC. I'm not going to New Orleans. I'm going to ATL, boy.
It has been great ever since. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Oh my goodness. But seriously though, about ATL changing, man, like, can you talk to people about some of the changes? I remember you talked about when you first moved, one of the major highways was like only a two-lane highway.
Yeah, 85 was a two-lane highway.
85 was a two-lane highway. If people could, like, if you've never been to ATL, like, 85 is like one of the interstates to end all interstates. It's freaking huge. Yes. Now it's probably like six, seven lanes at this point.
Exactly.
You know, and by the way, traffic like a mug, you know, during the day, like that evening rush or whatever, like it's a heavily populated area. Like, just the idea that 85 used to be just a little two-lane highway, bro. Like, my block, like my street here in LA is kind of freaking crazy to even think about.
It is. And in the areas that we live, 85 North did not exist. It was nothing but trees. Mm. Buford, Lawrenceville, Sinelville, trees.
It was forest area. There was no actual population. And, you know, my brother told me, like, now it's about 500,000 people in Gwinnett County. You know, just so you can just imagine what the population is like in the actual city when the suburbs, and even Gwinnett is even not even a suburb of Atlanta. It's kind of an exurb. It's like a burb of the burbs, which is just, you know, which is just crazy. I know Atlanta's like, you know, again, everybody understands it's one of our major cities and is definitely a hub, a cultural hub for Black Americans. When did you notice like the shift that, like, oh, ATL is like fucking changing for real?
I would say definitely around the Olympics, but as 96. Far as the Black culture, probably the mid 2000s, you know, we went from a culture that went out to party and dance, you know, clubs had dance floors. Mm-hmm. You know, after a long week or whatever, because ATL, you could actually party every day of the week. Mm-hmm. There's something going on.
Oh, I know. I've done it before.
Yeah, right. We've done it. You know, so now it's sections, bottle service. Yeah. You know, you went from buying drinks for $4 or $5. Now, you know that, and all they do is looking at each other, you know?
Yeah, they're not partying.
They're not partying.
Everybody's getting a section to stare at each other, mean mug each other. The women barely dancing. It's really a sad state of things with the club culture has become, especially around like Black music and stuff. It's kind of terrible, man. But listen, Pat, man, I really appreciate you coming on and giving us your firsthand knowledge of Freaknik. We couldn't give the people all of the crazy things that we see.
We got to hold some in.
Yeah.
To the imagination.
But I appreciate you coming on because, again, like, and I think what the cool, like, what I get from that story, man, honestly, is like the best things kind of happen organically. Right. You couldn't plan a party where you tell everybody, yo, we're going to show up on the highway and just stop our cars and start playing music. Like, you can't plan that. It just has to happen. Exactly. And the fact that something this 30 years later is still culturally resonant, where everybody's like, all the people who were there still remember their experience of being a part of Freaknik, man. It's just an incredible story, man. It's really cool that you got to be a part of that shit, Pat.
Exactly. And I'm not going to watch the documentary because I want to make sure, you know, hopefully nobody recorded me. You know what I mean?
You know what? I might have to watch that shit just to see if you're in there, man.
You probably won't recognize me.
Oh yeah, because you ain't got the beard. You had the clean face
and the glasses. I got the clean specs.
Yeah. You don't rock the specs no more.
I don't rock contacts. Yeah, so hopefully they don't recognize me.
Hey man, Pat, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, and thank you guys for listening. Of course, make sure you become a patron at patreon.com/countthedings. Go on our Twitter right now. We have our first live show since 2019 happening in Toronto at the Soul House out there in Toronto on April 6th. We're giving away 10 tickets to 10 CTD super fans. So go to our Twitter right now. Reach out to the CTD Twitter if you're interested in coming to our first live show since 2019. We're super excited. Myself, John Gervais, Black Trey, Zach Harper. We got the squad in there, man. And so make sure you guys get locked in for that. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.